Good morning. Sister Monica asked her sixth grade class to draw a picture of the Holy Family. All the sixth graders are doing pretty well, except Jimmy had a little strange drawing there. He had an airplane with four faces in it. Sister Monica asked Jimmy, "What's this? How's this the Holy Family?" He said, "That's Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, and Pontius the pilot." There aren't a lot of jokes about the Holy Family, so we gotta find the good ones. This Sunday, we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Family, which celebrates the holiness and joy of the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph of Nazareth. Each year, this celebration occurs on the Sunday between Christmas and New Year's. The church wants us to see the important link between the birth of our Savior and the family. In many parishes around the United States, deacons are asked especially to preach on this Sunday because many of us are husbands and fathers and grandfathers. Pope Francis said in his Holy Family address in 2013, "On the first Sunday after Christmas, the liturgy invites us to celebrate the feast of the Holy Family of Nazareth. Indeed, every nativity scene shows us Jesus together with Our Lady and Saint Joseph in the grotto at Bethlehem. God wanted to be born into the human family. He wanted us to have a mother and father." When we look at the Holy Family and want to emulate them, that can be a good thing, but for some people, it can be a little intimidating. Mary was a virgin, Joseph was celibate, and Jesus was the Son of God. That can be a little imposing, and obviously we don't have to achieve that, but we can look at, what do we want to do? How might we want to honor what we see in the Holy Family and bring some of that wisdom into our own families? Well, one way we might start is a catechism of the Catholic Church. We might ask, what is the role of family in society? The catechism tells us, the family is the original cell of social life. It is the natural society in which husband and wife are called to give themselves in love and in the gift of life. Authority, stability, and a life of relationships within the family constitute the foundations for freedom, security, and fraternity within society. The family is the community in which, from childhood, one can learn moral values, begin to honor God, and make good use of freedom. The family is an initiation into life in society. The Catechism also tells us the family should live in such a way that its members learn to care and take responsibility for the young, the old, the sick, the handicapped, and the poor. There are many families who at times are incapable of providing this help. It devolves then on another person or their families, and in a subsidiary way, society, to provide for their needs. This is according to our catechism. It also states the family must be helped and defended by appropriate social measures. Where families cannot fulfill their responsibilities, other social bodies have the duty of helping them and supporting them in the institution of the family. So we can get some guidance from our catechism itself. Think of the Holy Family, what we might learn from them. The tough thing is, if you look at like St. Joseph, he was probably the most famous stepfather, adoptive father ever to Christians. He wasn't the biological father of Jesus, but he stepped in and he was there for Mary and Joseph. What can we learn from some of these? Today's families come in many different shapes and sizes, more so than in the time of Jesus. There are birth families, blended families, step families, adoptive families, single parent families, multicultural families, grandparents raising grandchildren, same sex parent families, foster families, empty nesters, shared custody families, and other formations. There are many ways that we package families today, that what we see in how a family is raising the children that they're responsible for. All families need role models. for those of us who are blessed, for those of you who are blessed to be parents, who are your role models? Who do you look up to that really was a good mom, really was a solid dad, really was a responsible parent that taught us how to be there for our children, how to respect one another, and how to live out our Catholic faith? This is also the time of year that many of us look at making resolutions. For some of us, the resolutions might only last a week or two, but at least we could start by making New Year's resolutions. The ancient Babylonians are created with starting the tradition about 4,000 years ago about celebrating each new year. A lot of the resolutions we make today tend to be around health, exercise, and diet. Well, those can be good. That's one of my goals, too, this coming year, is to drop some significant weight. But the idea is, beyond that, how might we emulate the Holy Family? How might we instill in our own families some guidance, some ways that we can see to strengthen our own family? Well, one way is to look at what are common traits of successful Christian families. What are traits of successful Catholic families? One is a deep commitment to one another. We know that for those who were blessed enough to be married, marriage isn't a 50-50. It's a sacrifice. We sacrifice a lot for each other. We sacrifice even more for our children and our grandchildren. Joseph married Mary, knowing he was not the biological father of Jesus, but he made that sacrifice. And he committed himself to that marriage and to that family. Another characteristic of a successful Christian family is that family is a top priority. Our careers are important, but is family more important? How much time do we actually focus on our family? How much is in the back of our mind when we're out in the marketplace, when we're out in the work world? How much of that in the back of our mind is our family? How our family is doing, what I can do to make a place a better place, that our family is really a priority. Another one of the characteristics is a shared commitment to our faith. Strong, successful Christian Catholic families are committed to our faith, and we share that. We don't just talk the talk, but we walk the walk. We don't just say what we should do to follow the Ten Commandments or the Eight Beatitudes or the seven corporal or spiritual works of mercy, but we live it. How do we live that? Do we pray together? Do we engage in the sacraments, go to Mass, receive communion? How do we share our faith and strengthen our faith, especially as we see some younger people today walking away from our Catholic faith? What can we do to bring them back? Another one is lots of constructive communication. How do we communicate with each other? When things are good, it's usually easy to communicate. But when stress is high in the family, due to financial issues, due to insecurity, due to illness or injury, how do we communicate when there's high stress? How do we handle what's going on and be role models for how to communicate in a healthy way and in a safe way and in a shared way? Focus on the kind of conversation that builds others up rather than tears them down. Does our communication do that? Do we build each other up? We know that encouragement for children is more long-lasting than praise in children. We encourage our children, we're building on their self-image. Praise is usually for an act. Encouragement is for who they are. How do we encourage our children? How do we encourage our spouse? How do we encourage those around us to have a happier community and a stronger family? Healthy families share in giving something back. In what way might we give something back in Thanksgiving? To volunteer at Hope, to volunteer in any way. How do we give back? What do we do to say, I've been blessed. And I share those blessings with one another. A lot of people do that at Christmas, and that's wonderful. But how about during the rest of the year? How much can we do? How much should we do? Family members look out for each other. We don't just look out for ourselves. Big brothers and big sisters watch out for each other, the littler ones. We share with each other. We protect each other. We tend to try to live by the golden rule. Another one is that conflicts are resolved constructively, safely, and promptly. Do we tell ourselves, I don't want to go to bed angry? I used to tell myself I wouldn't go to bed angry with my wife, wonderful wife, Denise. Well, over 31 years, there have been times I have, and I'm still working on it, but how do we do that? How do we share conflict and resolve conflict safely and promptly? Especially as men. There's so many men in our culture that get too angry and express themselves in dangerous ways, whether it's with weapons or muscles or our voices or other ways. What can we as men do to talk to other men to help create more safe and secure families and deal with conflict in a constructive and safe way? Healthy families build in some fun. When's the last time you built in some fun with your family? Sometimes it can be impromptu, just spur of the moment. Others it can be planned, but how do we do that? Healthy families have positive crisis coping skills. When there's an emergency, when there's a lot of stress, when something comes up that we have to deal with, who do we look to? Each family usually has someone that's pretty good at staying calm when a crisis arrives. There can be big crises and small crises. I had a little one this morning. I got up, I had the 7 o'clock mass, went outside, and the ice scraper in our car was gone. So being from the Midwest, I just pulled out my credit card, and I used that all six windows. I don't know if the credit card's going to work later, but I used it at all the windows. I mean, I did fine, but I needed to be here in time so Father wouldn't have to punt and do my homily today. So I really wanted to be here for the 7 and 9 on time. That's a small thing. How do we respond in those crises? How do our children see us when we respond to those? Or a big crisis, the death of a family, the loss of a home, an illness, a diagnosis that can really transform a family. Who do we look up to? Who's a role model? Can we be that role model in our family? And healthy families have a positive outlook. The glass is half full more often than the glass is half empty. A positive outlook gives our children an opportunity to see that there's good in the world, that there's hope in the hurt, that there's good out there. There are many good things that are happening. Because there are times in our world today that can be pretty scary till we tell our children there are more good people working to fix things than there are bad people working to harm people. How do we share that positive outlook? How are we that role model to others around us that things are going to be better and we're going to be taking action to make sure we do that through the guidance of God? To conclude, I want to mention, to refer to the prayer to the Holy Family that St. Francis presented in the Feast of the Holy Family in 2013. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, in you we contemplate the splendor of true love. To you we turn with trust. Holy Family of Nazareth, grant that our families too may be places of communion and prayer, authentic schools of grace, and small domestic churches. Holy Family of Nazareth, may families never again experience violence, rejection, or division. May all who have been hurt or scandalized find ready comfort and healing. Holy Family of Nazareth, grant us to be mindful of the sacredness and inviolability of the family and its beauty in God's plans. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, graciously hear our prayer.